Today we celebrate the joyful feast of a joyful saint, Saint Mary Magdalene. In our statues of the Anuim gathered at the foot of the cross, she's that one in red behind the Blessed Virgin Mary, because Mary Magdalene was at the cross. That's right in the Gospels. Some of these other figures maybe were not there. We don't know who was there, but for sure, John was there, the Blessed Mother was there, Mary Magdalene was there. Now you might wonder about Father Francis, who's also there. Today is the anniversary of his baptism. That's why we have the stole on the image of Father Francis. He was baptized on July 22nd, not when he was an infant. It was, I think he was 3 years old, 3 years old. His baptism was delayed, and after his conversion as an adult, and he learned and reflected back on the fact that his baptism was on the feast of Mary Magdalene. He thought it very significant that that moment of new life came to him in connection with this great saint, Mary Magdalene. Now, I say this is a joyful feast of a joyful saint, but that's not the first thing people think of when they think of Mary Magdalene. Of course, all feast days are joyful and all saints are joyful because they're united with God, and that's the cause, the reason why we have joy is because of God. But Mary Magdalene is, in people's popular imagination, associated with sin and with, well, immorality in general, but also with being plagued with evil because she was set free from seven demons. So in past ages, different cultural associations were kind of dumped on her. Whatever culture identified as a bad woman was put on Mary Magdalene. So in ages when the worst example of womanhood was a prostitute, she was accused of being a prostitute. In ages when the worst thing a woman could be is a witch, she was accused of being a witch. So those are not in the scriptures. But the idea was Mary Magdalene was really a bad woman, but she converted, she became a follower, she was set free, and now she's a saint. Well, the scriptural depiction of Mary is a lot more positive. Yes, she was set free from seven demons, but she's depicted in the Gospels as a faithful follower, and she's one of the few who remained with Jesus all the way to the cross. So that indicates a great strength of love, if not also great faith, devotion. And then she's the first to go to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark, and the first to meet the risen Lord, and the first to be the one to announce the resurrection. So whatever else people think about Mary Magdalene, the reason we have a special honor for her is that she is the first apostle, the first one sent to announce the good news. Jesus himself on Easter morning said to her, go and tell, what did it say? No. Go to my brothers and tell them. Go to my brothers. That's being sent. That's being an apostle. And she goes and announces, I have seen the Lord. She's an eyewitness of the resurrection. That's why she's honored in the church as the apostle to the apostles. That's why we can say she's a joyful saint. And this is a joyful day because she saw the risen Lord. We don't only recall her memory because of her struggles, her dealing with sin and darkness, her longing. That's all part of her journey. But her journey, her search, her thirst led to the great joy of seeing the Lord. Now, as I reflected on Mary Magdalene, what came to my mind, I hope this is not too bad a distraction, but what came to my mind was this song, which was immensely popular when I was young, American Pie. You know that song, American Pie? It's probably popular everywhere. Somebody mentioned it to me recently, and so it came back to my mind. I listened to it on the internet. You can get all songs, of course. And it's a catchy tune, of course, and that's probably why it's popular, but it's also a very sad song because it's all about loss. And there's some very clever poetry or at least rhymes in it. One of the lines that came back to my mind, the composer is mourning the death of his idol, a musician who died tragically. And he says, "I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died." So you know that song. It's all about loss. The death of music, the death of culture. I remember now, yes, the reason why this came up is someone referred to me an article about the collapse of Western culture, especially American culture, very obviously collapsing before our very eyes. And but that song back in the 70s was already identifying some kind of loss, although it seems that the composer was mourning the loss of a certain style of music or a certain era. And there's lots of, in the song, lots of loss. You know, the levee's dry, I can't find the music, we can't dance, and nobody's happy. There's even some religious imagery of the victory of evil over good, you know, the evil imagery. And then there's a line, which I had forgotten all about. "The three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, took the last train to the coast the day the music died." So it's as if he's saying, I'm even abandoned by God. I don't have music, I don't have joy, I don't have good times, and even God has, you know, gone off to the distant sunset. Well, but it's a song that, of course, it gets stuck in your head, and it's kind of upbeat. So it's almost as if it's celebrating the sadness of loss. That's what nostalgia does. Yeah, I'm sad about what I don't have, but I'm kind of enjoying being sad. That's nostalgia. That kind of longing, which is what a lot of people do, is not at all the longing that we see in Mary Magdalene. Now, let's get back to today's saint and today's gospel. Mary Magdalene is one who has deep longing, and she has experienced deep losses. We go back to her pre-conversion days. She was trapped in darkness. She was caught. She was longing for freedom, for light. And she found that freedom and light in Jesus Christ. She wasn't stuck longing, longing, longing. She found what she was longing for. In the death and burial of Christ, she lost him again. She was left in this experience of loss. Now, in that song, it's lost music, lost innocence, lost joys, whatever. She lost the light of her life. She lost the one who gave meaning to her life. The only thing that would satisfy her would be to find him again, even to find his body. So to go to the tomb and find the tomb empty is another loss. The scriptures capture this very beautifully with the first reading, the image of the bride searching for him whom her heart loves. "I sought him whom my heart loves. I sought him, but I did not find him." This is the longing of the heart for God, the longing of the soul for God. I went into the streets, I asked the watchman, I went everywhere. Have you seen him? And at the end of the reading, "I found him whom my heart loves." That's the joy. Then in the psalm, Psalm 63, "My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God." My soul is thirsting for you. Like the earth parched, lifeless, and without water. The image of deep thirst, deep longing. Now, as I say, in culture, in secular culture, there's a kind of celebration of thirst. Nostalgia is, let's rejoice in the fact that we're all thirsty. Well, that's not very satisfying in the long run. It just, I suppose it's consoling to be thirsting together with others. You're not so alone. But you know what thirst, that kind of thirst leads to, and we saw this during the pandemic, mental illness, addiction, disorders, and this is what's happening in the world. This deep longing that we all have for God, people are trying to fill it with any possible thing, and as culture breaks down, and as family breaks down, and as economy breaks down, and people think, I can no longer be filled with this and that, I'm going to find something else. That's the compulsive movement of the world, trying to fill this thirst, trying to satisfy this thirst, fill this emptiness. Mary Magdalene tells us the answer to that thirst. Who is it? What is it? And who is it that will actually satisfy us, that will actually give us joy? It's Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Let's look at this gospel. This is, you know, Mary Magdalene is mentioned many times in the gospels, but she doesn't have any speaking parts except in this passage from John chapter 20. And her lines are all about her search. First of all, she goes to Simon Peter, can't find the Lord, they've taken him away. She meets the angels, they ask her why she's weeping, because they've taken the Lord, I don't know where the Lord is. Then she sees Jesus himself, doesn't recognize him. Sir, I'm looking for the Lord, I'm looking for him, did you take him away? Her first three lines are all about this search. The fourth line is actually just one word, Rabboni, my teacher, I've found you, my teacher. And you would think that satisfies the longing, but not quite. Because what Mary finds is, in her mind, what she lost, the Lord that she knew in his public life. That's all she could think of. And Jesus says, no. Don't cling to what you knew of me. Don't cling to the relationship you had with me in this life. I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. I'm going higher. I'm going beyond what you knew before. And that risen life is what will satisfy the deep thirst of the soul. That risen life is what Mary Magdalene announces to the apostles, and the apostles announce to the world. I have seen the Lord. It's the same Lord that I knew before, but he's on the other side of death and he is alive. He was crucified, died, and was buried. I saw the tomb. I went to the tomb on the third day. It was empty and I saw him alive. That's the gospel message. That's the word that satisfies the deep thirst of the soul. And that's why today's feast is a joyful one. We're not celebrating thirst. We're not celebrating past joys that we can remember. We're celebrating present joys that surpass anything that we have ever experienced, surpass even our greatest imagination of what we think would be satisfying. It's God himself that we thirst for, and it's God himself whom Mary Magdalene directs us to in her announcement. So she is the apostle to the apostles. She's an apostle to us, an example of a holy, faithful woman who shares the joy of the resurrection with the world.